This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He's our Indians beat reporter. He is Alex Hooper. Hello, Hoop.
What's up, fellas? How are we?
We are fine. How is Leonis Martin? And I know everything's a little hush-hush, and no one really knows what's going on. Is he okay? Is he going to play any baseball this year, the rest of the way?
You know, that's really hard to I can't really answer that because we have not been given any information. It's just been, like you said, it's been hush-hush, HIPAA laws and whatnot. Chris Antonetti was asked about it, and he said, you know, we can't tell you. Like, we can't release the information. And so no one's really followed up too much. I mean, obviously you can ask, is there anything else you can tell us? Is there anything else you can tell us? But until they decide they want to release that information, we're just kind of waiting around. And I don't think we're going to find anything out until after that 10 days. And at this point, I think you would believe it would be over the 10 days just based on the change in tone. I mean, You guys have heard it. It went from ha-ha joke about intestinal problems to if you pray, then think about doing that. And then you have players writing Leonis's name on their hat. And that generally is something that people only do when it's a serious, serious issue. So it's been a very confusing stretch of time, but I guess at this point, you really just got to keep thinking about the guy. It was a quick switch. It was just something that happened immediately after a game. And all of a sudden now we're playing this waiting game and just hoping that he's okay.
And when it's a baseball situation, they'll tell you everything. You know, he blew out his shoulder. This needs done. So obviously there's something else going on here. And we all hope that it's nothing, you know, that's life-threatening. Let's be completely honest. We hope it's something that they can control and get under control. That said, here was your move to go out and solidify things in the outfield. You didn't go out and bring in Bryce Harper, but you brought in a player who had a great start as an Indian and played some pretty solid defense in center field. And now you don't have him, Hoop. So I would assume that they have to make plans that they're not going to have him, period. What do they do here with some time to go before, while you can still make a trade getting a guy through waivers?
I think you're definitely looking into that. I expected them to do something even with the Martin move. I expected them to go out and get a corner outfielder. And at this point, I would think that's the move still. But you don't know who's going to be out there. I was gearing up for Andrew McCutchen for the last year and a half, and then obviously the Giants went and got him, but they're still in contention, and we're getting closer and closer to the end of the month where you got to make a move if you want someone playoff eligible. And the Giants are still behind a bunch of teams, but within, you know, reach of a wild card spot, if not the NL West. So you're going to look at a thin market, and you're going to have to decide what's it worth to you. And there may not be a whole lot of guys out there, but I expect there to be some sort of move. Generally, the waiver moves are for a very, very small price. It's just a matter of getting a guy who either went through waivers or getting the claim in early on somebody and being the team that is selected. So I really like what Greg Allen has grown into. I don't know that he is, you know, your first choice to be patrolling center field and hitting in a playoff series, but you might not have a whole lot of options. And I think you're completely right about preparing as if you aren't going to have Leonis for the remainder of the season. I think that's the only way you can go. And then, of course, you have Lonnie Chisenhall and Tyler Naquin hoping to, A, be healthy, and, B, get into minor league games to get ready for the stretch run. And then, again, you have to count on more so Chisenhall to actually stay healthy, which he hasn't been able to do for 2 years.
Let's talk about Trevor Bauer. I know he said it's just inflamed. There's liquid going on inside his leg. But I got to tell you, when it first happened, the way that ball ricocheted over to first base, I'm like, uh-oh, we got problems with this. He sounded like I thought he was optimistic. about coming back sooner than later, but if I'm the Indians, I'm making sure he's 100% before he walks anywhere near that hill.
Yeah, I think anytime it was kind of on the balls of the ankle there. That's what it looked like.
Right.
And if you've ever like slightly knocked that against a table leg, you're in pain for 2 days. I can't imagine, you know, a 100-mile line drive coming right off that spot. And I'm with you. I mean, all indications from Tito and from Bauer that he's going to make his next start and he'll be fine. But like you said, you have to consider the severity of that injury and what it's going to do to you physically. Corey Kluber had that issue with his knee on, you know, his drive leg, the same sort of thing that would happen with Trevor Bauer. And Trevor's got a pretty violent delivery, all things considered. So you have to consider the fact that he is going to be pushing off of that leg, and it's not higher up, and it's not like it's a thigh or a calf where it's muscular, but, you know, you're really putting a lot of pressure on a part of your foot that doesn't really have a whole lot of leverage. So you're going to be pushing off of that maybe 100, 120 times a game, and that's not even considering warm-up pitches and getting ready and everything. So that's a lot of stress on that part of your foot. And also it might change your release point, and then that could throw off everything in your delivery for a while, and then you have to recorrect. It's a part of the game, and I'm not saying, like, you have to stay away from him completely because you don't want all of those things to happen. Trevor's a creature of habit, and he'll get back to his delivery soon enough. It'll be fine, and he may have it if he goes out next time. But there's just a long chain of things that can happen there, and with an injury to a pitcher, even if it's just a knock like that, you really got to be deliberate in how you approach it.
Boop, let me throw this one at you. What do you think of the way the Red Sox handled the Chris Sale situation? I mean, the guy was lights out with 12 strikeouts in 5 innings. And they put him on the DL, and here's a guy who traditionally kind of struggles towards the end of the season, maybe because he's burned out. And, you know, hey, we might have a little plantar fasciitis or just something enough to get a guy to a DL that you can say, let's give him a little bit of a rest. What do you think of that situation?
You know, it's something that the Dodgers did a ton last year. They had like 7 legitimate starters. So if there was just a little bit of an issue, a little bit of a hiccup, they'd pop the guy in the DL because essentially now with the 10-day DL, you just miss one start and then you're eligible to come off for the next one. And I like how teams are manipulating their rosters. I think more teams could do it if they had, you know, enough starting pitchers, or in the Red Sox case, you're winning 84 of 100 games or whatever. So they're in the position to do that sort of thing. And I think teams can do it. The Dodgers did it to perfection last year a lot with Kenton Maeda and Rich Hill. And now they have guys like Ross Stripling. You can do that. But, you know, with the Indian situation, I don't know if they could pop Bauer on the DL and bring up Plutko for one time through. But if you felt that it was enough of an issue that you wanted him to miss one start, that's really all it is one start.
Alex Hooper joining us, our Indians beat reporter. What you mentioned about Trevor Bauer, where, okay, if your foot hurts, your ankle hurts, you're stepping, landing a little differently to compensate for that pain, and all of a sudden it throws a little pain to your shoulder or something's a little off. Exactly what you described is exactly what happened with Edwin Encarnacion and why he's on the disabled list now. Hurt his hand, couldn't finish with two hands, puts more strain on his bicep, so they're shutting him down for 10 days. And that's exactly the fear with Bauer, I would assume, Hoop, as you laid out. So if you're the Indians, Edwin's out, you bring up Yandy Diaz. This guy deserves a pretty long look here, doesn't he?
Yeah, man. That's one that continues to baffle me. I don't understand how you're running Melky Cabrera out there in right field, and you have a switch hitter who needs to be lifted in like the 5th, 6th inning of a lot of competitive games, both for defense and for running on the base paths. And it's not like he's slapping a homer out of the park every 10 at bats or anything like that. He's a solid hitter at this point who is just a minus defender and a minus on the base paths. And that's what you're trotting out there. Yandy Diaz hasn't been great in the outfield. He hasn't played any outfield in 2018, even at the minor league level. But this team has never valued defense in right field. I shouldn't say never, but recently not at all. And in left field, you got Michael Brantley, who his hitting does make up for his fielding. he's got a great arm, but he kind of jogs over to the ball. I just don't understand why they didn't prepare themselves for a guy like Diaz, who he's changed his hitting profile the way that they needed him to. He was hitting too many ground balls. This year he's really added a lot of fly balls, and he's maintained his line drives. And he's still, you know, top 10 in exit velocity. And if you look at the people in that top 10 list, they're all borderline MVP candidates and certain all-stars. So if you can just get him to continue to drive the ball and put it in the air, which he has done, I'm not saying he's going to be Paul Goldschmidt, but he's going to be a really nice hitter. And they're going to start shifting away if they haven't already, because that's where he puts pretty much everything. But he hits the ball so hard, and he hits it on a line and more so in the air now, that he's going to generate a lot. It doesn't even matter a lot of times with him if it lands for a hit. He can make a lot of productive outs. So I don't understand why they didn't prepare themselves to possibly play him out there. I know he doesn't look great in the outfield, but I know Melky Cabrera is a career outfielder, but he's essentially defensively a first baseman at this point. And Yandy deserves to be on this team, but now because they haven't prepared to put him in right field or left field or whatever, he's essentially become the DH that they've had him serving as. I mean, he can still play third base. His scouting report as a minor leaguer was always pretty high on his defense. He's a 70 grade arm out of 80, and he was an above average fielder, again, according to the amateur scouting reports. So now your choice is either DH him or put him at third, slide Ramirez over to second, and put Kipnis in right field, which that is a whole nother, you know, Pandora's box of issues and things like that. So it's about preparation, and I don't think it was there with Diaz, and I don't know how much they actually value him enough to give him plenty of major league at-bats when they have an opening, but they don't seem to want to find time for him, especially not, you know, in mid-August as we're getting ready for trying to set some sort of playoff roster.
Alex, thank you very much, buddy.
No problem, fellas.
Thanks, Hoop.
Alex Hooper, our Indians beat reporter, bringing up a real valid point there. Yandy Diaz has done what they've asked him to do, and he doesn't seem to be getting the shot.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.